Okay, let's create a few examples, if you would, to give us a better perspective of how this works, what people see or feel when it's all done.
Okay.
And, all right.
The procedure, I always begin the procedure by using the eye movements to help people process their deep sadness, all right? And it's generally the sadness that people experience blocks them from being able to have an after-death communication. First of all, after-death communications are not at all rare, and they've been estimated to occur in 20% of in people. So one out of five people have already had an after-death communication.
All right, through this technique, or it just happens?
Just happens, all right. Spontaneously and randomly. Now, when I use this procedure with my patients, we first do a lot of work on, like I say, processing that deep sadness and other emotional issues that prevent one from having the experience. And then at the very end of my procedure, I use the eye movement to put a person in a state that I call the receptive mode, where they're just kind of open to anything that happens. As a matter of fact, that's how I originally discovered it. After making a number of changes to the eye movement procedure, I just gave people an extra set of eye movement. And when they closed their eyes, they would have the experience. And by the way, I just want to make it clear, people who have induced after-death communications, they're private experiences that people have with their eyes closed.
Hmm. Okay, let's assume, okay, I come in as a patient. What do you do with me?
Well, the very first thing I do is I take you through a fairly lengthy screening procedure to make sure that this procedure is appropriate for you. But the very first thing we would do would be to identify your primary loss, and then you would tell me the story. And after you get done telling me the story of your loss and this person and so on, I would use the eye movement while I would have you shift your eyes while focusing on your sadness associated with the loss.
Okay, now how do we do that?
Well, you're sitting in a chair in front of me, and I ask you simply just to get in touch with your sadness.
Mentally, I guess. We got to just concentrate.
Just allow yourself to feel that sadness. And then while you're feeling that sadness, I get your eyes shifting side to side in a particular rhythmic fashion.
How do you do that? We just do that with eye muscle, or do you have some kind of apparatus we have to follow?
There's a number of ways you can do it. You can just simply, wave my arm side to side when you focus on my fingers going back and forth. I have an arthritic shoulder, so I use a stick. A little easier for me to do.
Is this something, Alan, we should not do at home?
Yes, you should not do it at home because the eye movement, the good thing about it is that it's so powerful and really helps people process very painful things. The problem with eye movement or the potential side effects involve, most importantly, bringing up other distressing losses or traumas one has in one's life, bringing those up so inadvertently. So anytime that I work with somebody doing eye movement, I always need to get a good history first. In other words, somebody might want to come in and work on the death of their grandmother and have some significant sadness about that. But if they were in a terrible car accident 20 years prior, I'm going to be giving eye movement on the death of grandmother, and there's a real good chance we're going to pull up that accident. And that person then may begin to relive the accident. So if you're doing this on your own and you're trying to induce an ADC on yourself and you've got any other significant trauma in your life, there's an excellent chance that you're going to pull that up and end up in a very bad place. It should only be done by a competent professional who is trained in EMDR.
Right, which is very important because not a lot of them are.
Correct, although more and more professional therapists across the world now are getting EMDR trained, and it's becoming rapidly mainstreamed. The last I heard, there are 40,000 EMDR-trained professionals across the planet.
That's huge, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And there have been a number of scientific studies. I believe it's over 20 now, controlled scientific studies that all support the efficacy of EMDR.
So, where do we stand in this country as opposed to other countries in this field?
Well, I probably couldn't give you a really good answer on that. EMDR started here in the United States and first began to grow here. But it's also now very big in Europe and Australia and so on.
All right, now, so these people are put into this state. Do they actually communicate with the dead, or do they think they are in order to solve their grief?
Well, that's an excellent question. As a psychologist, my primary concern has always been on the healing that's associated with induced after-death communication. And I've chosen not to speculate or take a side on whether this is real or not real and so on. I don't want to get bogged down in those arguments. My primary focus is on healing patients. Although, people are very interested if there is any evidence, if we have any evidence that would, argue that these experiences are real or not real and so on.